Thank you for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com. That's strength4thejourney.com. There's a number of articles, these radio programs. This radio program is number 24, and you can find it on S4TJ Radio. We have a saying here at Strength for the Journey that truth is the fuel for the journey. Applying the truth will give you strength for the journey. This is what we all need in our lives today. There's so many voices out there today, and we need to find the truth, and we need to apply it into our life. And we're going to be talking tonight about the garden in our heart. And this is the garden of life, that the words of life need to go into our heart and find a place to grow. Many of us have gone through many traumatic and hard times in our life that tends to harden our heart. God wants us to plow the hard surface of our hearts and allow His Word and His life to come into our heart so that we can have life. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And our heart is technically like a garden that His Word has to go into, and we have to guard the heart. David put it this way. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." David understood that there was something that must be, or someone that must have been trying to steal the word out of his heart, because he said, "I hid it in my heart." And you don't hide something that is not valuable or that can be stolen. And there's a parable that Jesus talked about. It's in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. And it says, and he's explaining, it says, "Hear ye the word," or therefore the parable of the sower. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received the seed by the wayside." And he explains it here that the wicked one, the devil, comes immediately to steal the word out of their heart, lest they should believe. And this is what is explained in chapter 8 of Luke, verse 12. It says, "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So there's a thief out there that wants to steal the word out of our heart. And if our hearts are hardened, then the seed just sits on the top of the surface, just like if you had an unplowed ground out in your garden and you threw a seed, it would just sit on the surface. And it says the fowls of the air come. In another one of the Gospels, it says the fowls of the air come. And it's like if a bird can see that seed on the ground, then it's going to pick it off the ground. But if it has soft ground, then it's going to find its way and go into the ground. And this is where our responsibility comes as a believer, is that we have to plow the ground. We have to soften our hearts. And this, the key is to softening our heart is repentance. And without repentance, we'll never be broken. The ground will never be softened. We'll remain hardened. But when we repent before the Lord, And that actually means that you've turned from your ways, that you actually aren't just sorry for the consequences of sin, but sorry for the sin itself. I wrote a little, this is just the first paragraph of an article I wrote called "Are We Wax Free?" It says, "Our hearts are command central, our want to center. Our obedience to God comes as a result of our desire to obey. It's a manifestation of an obedient heart, and an obedient heart is a fulfillment of a repentant heart. Repentance is the first step to a life and a lifestyle of obedience. Without a repentant heart and a contrite spirit, obedience will never take place. We will always have an excuse. We'll always look for a way to disobey rather than obey." So this is the key that we have to understand, is that if we see that we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing, then it's really a heart issue. It's that we're still looking for a way to disobey rather than obey. And this is where we have to really look on the inside and find out what's really going on. You know, a lot of us, we look for answers, but we never will find the right answers until we ask the right questions. And the real questions need to be why. Why did I say that? Why did I want to do that? I wish I hadn't have done that. What made me want to do that? The Bible says that we are to seek the Lord with all of our heart. And if we will seek Him with all of our heart, He will be found. This is where, if we'll really examine our heart and find out why, really change our want-tos and ask the Lord to really change our heart, He'll do something very special in our life. But if we just are playing games and we're just playing the what other people, we're just more concerned about what other people think about us than really what the Lord knows about us, that's never going to change. You know, it's interesting when in Matthew 4:17, it says that he said, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The first word that Jesus said was, when he began to preach, was repent. It was the first word, because repentance is the initiation into the kingdom of heaven. He was saying, because I am here to tell you the truth, you have no cloak for your sin. If you will listen and respond to my words and repent, recognize your sin is an offense to a holy and righteous God, and with your whole heart make a 180-degree turn from your wicked ways, then the kingdom of heaven is within reach. In Matthew 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, in those days John the Baptist began to preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. By prophetic inspiration, the initial words were the same as Jesus. By preaching for Jesus, before Jesus, he was preparing the way and declaring to the hearer to do the same. In Matthew 3:3, he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In other words, get real, be honest to yourself and before others. Nothing is hidden to God, so live your life that way and walk accordingly. The word that is translated for straight is actually a word that means, and from the Greek word, it means sincere or straight way. So to make your path straight is really to make yourself sincere. In the last program, on program number 23, we talked a little bit about sincere, that it comes from two words, Latin term, sincere, means without wax. And what they did was they would put wax to hide flaws on statues. And they would take the wax or take the statue out in the sunlight in the heat of the day, and they would expose if there's any wax. And this is where we need to just be true before God, that we need to be wax free. We need to be without, we need to be sincere before Him, because He sees everything. There's nothing that is hidden before Him. So it's silly for us to even attempt to hide anything from His eyes, because He knows everything. He sees everything. He's omniscient and He's omnipotent. So if we understand that and we really believe it, then we'll live our lives that way. And I think probably the biggest problem all of us have is that we really don't think He sees everything, nor does He aware of what's going on inside of our heart. And if we say that we believe in God, and but many ways we don't live like we really do, because if we really believe that He was a God that knew everything, then these temptations that come our way, we would not fall to them. And so this is what we need to really examine, is what's going on inside of our heart. In verse 15 of Luke chapter 8, it talks about the good ground that produced a harvest, and their lives were fruitful. It says, but they on the good ground are they which with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And there's several things that's very interesting about this one scripture. First of all, it talks about an honest heart. And this is in sincere, where we have to be sincere. We have to be honest before God. We can't think that we can hide stuff from Him, because really, we're just hiding the enemy inside. That the best way to expose the enemy is to be transparent. because the devil can't live in a glass house. If we're transparent before God and we're honest before Him, there's no place for Him to hide, because the devil hides in secrecy, or he hides in dark places. And if we don't give him a dark place, or we don't give him a place to hide, then he has to go, because he's exposed. So if we just be honest before God and just say, God, here's what I'm dealing with, whatever it may be, just be transparent before Him. And also, so it says that they, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. In other words, what the ones that didn't keep it were the ones that didn't guard their heart, they didn't hide it in their heart. They didn't realize that there was an enemy out there that was looking to steal the word of God from them. And so we have to realize how valuable the word of God is to us, that when God speaks His word, either through the Bible or through a rhema, a word by the Holy Spirit to us, or a prophetic word, we have to hang on to it, because the enemy wants to take it from us. He wants to tell it's a lie, or deceive us in some way. And we have to learn how to discern the difference between the voice of the enemy and the voice of the Lord. One of the best ways I know is to get into the Bible for yourself. You know, many Christians today, the only time their Bibles get opened is when they go to church. And if we realized how important it was for us to understand the Bible, that we would spend a lot more time in it and not just have somebody spoon feed us on Sunday morning and then the Bible stays closed the rest of the time. This is probably one of the most important times of our life right now, in this history of time right now, that in the things that are going on in the world, that we have to have the truth and we have to have the Word of God in our heart. And if we don't take time to read the Bible, if we don't take time to study it and really ponder on it, then it's not going to be there when we need it. There may be a day when you can't even have a Bible. Things can change. We all seem to think that everything's always going to be the same, that nothing's ever going to change. But the truth is, things change. And there's times that are going to come that we probably aren't anticipating, nor probably could ever never believe could happen. But I believe that we're coming into a day and a time when things are going to change, and they may change very fast. And we need to have our house built on a rock. We need to understand that when Jesus talked about, they that hear my sayings and do them are like a man who built his house on a rock, that when the storms came and the waters rose, that the house stood. And those that did not do what I say, their house was built on sand. And when the storms came and the waters rose, their house washed away. And this is the importance right now in our life, to find out what is God saying for us to do. And we need to do it. We need to be obedient. And this is something that can only take place in a heart that's desiring to be obedient. If our heart is still desiring to do what we want to do, and we don't want to be told what to do, we don't want to be corrected, then we're not going to receive God's word with joy. We're not going to receive His word and hide it in our heart, because we still have our own agenda in our life. There's some of the most important things that we can do right now is just be obedient to whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to do. This is where many people will fall away if they have not been obedient to do what God says. But this is going to, God's, when He speaks to us, many times it is a corrective voice. And the problem is, if we have a rebellious heart, then we're not going to want to receive a corrective voice. And I think that many of us have to admit that a lot of our life has been, many decisions that we've made have been built and done in rebellion to authority, and rebellion maybe to our parents. God has established authority in our life for our protection, not for our destruction. And we have to understand that God's authority is many times distributed through people. And really, when we're rebelling against authority, whoever it may be in our life, we're really rebelling against God. So we're going to listen to a song here in just a moment, and I think you'll really enjoy it. It's a song by Hillsong.
As you were, I will.
his feet. This is the place that we need to be broken before him if we'll fall at his feet. Jesus said, whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. We have to humble ourselves before God. It's not a good thing to be humbled, because then we'll be crushed to powder if we are the ones who are humbled. We need to humble ourselves. We need to fall at his feet and just worship him. Another thing that really changes our heart is worship, that when we put him in his proper place of being God in our life, that it changes our heart. It does something on the inside of us. One of the things that I have found in the last couple of years especially is just spending time with some good worship music, something that will minister to my heart and just soften my heart. And worship will do that. You know, I had a friend of mine that was a singer, and she was an incredibly anointed singer. And she was asking the Lord one time, you know, Lord, why do you require us to worship you? What is it? Does it do something to you? Does it change you in some way? And the Lord spoke back to her, and he said, I never change. I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. He said, worship doesn't change me. It changes you. This is really the truth of that the Lord does change us when we find a place of brokenness before him. Finding a place of worship in our heart and being thankful, it does something to us. There's a number of examples of those that fell at his feet, and one of that comes to my mind right now was the lepers. And they were, there was 10 of them, and they were walking along, and they cried out to Jesus to have mercy on him. And Jesus healed all 10 of them as they walked. And only one of them came back to thank him. Only one of them came and fell at his feet and worshiped him. And I really believe that this is the one that came back to find out why God had healed them or healed him. The other ones went on just to live a life that they wanted to live for themselves and didn't take into consideration why did God heal them. I was reading here just a little bit ago on Luke chapter 8, and it talks about in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the twelve were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And I was just looking at this. I never really saw this before, but these certain women had all been healed from evil spirits or infirmities, and they came back to worship the Lord and fell at his feet and found out, why did you do this to me? Why did you heal me? Why did you deliver me? Because God doesn't deliver us without a purpose. He delivers us for his purpose, to set us free to do what he wants us to do. And this is the difference between someone who has a heart that is desiring to do whatever they want to do and a desire to do what God wants them to do. And without a change of heart to where we find out why God did reveal himself to us. How did he do this? Was it a miraculous thing? I know we talked on some of the other programs in the past about, you know, what is it going to take for God? How big a miracle does God have to do for us to give him all of our heart? Is the fact that you're alive, even listening to this program right now, not enough? You can't think of how many times that maybe you should have been in a car wreck and you shouldn't even be here right now, or maybe you shouldn't even have been born. But these are all just examples of how God, his love, has reached down to us and has set us free, has revealed himself in some way to us, in some way or form. But what is our heart like? Is our heart one of rebellion? Is it one that still wants to do whatever we want to do, no matter how big a miracle God does for us? God wants us to soften our heart and that he can plant his seed in there, that it, that our lives will be fruitful. Because without his truth being applied to our life, our lives will never be fruitful. It's only by us abiding in the vine that we have to abide in him. We have to live in him. You know, there's something else that came to my mind this afternoon as I was preparing for this program, was the importance, again, of humility. And in James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "But he gives more grace, wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." And then what really kind of came to me was verse 7. It says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." You know, it's saying, it's not like God's doing all this. It says for us to cleanse our hands and to purify our hearts. But here's one of the big keys that came to me, was that we have to submit in order to resist. That if we don't submit to God first, we won't have the power or the ability to resist the devil. And many times people today are trying to resist the attacks of the enemy, but they're not willing to submit to God. And this is where the key is, to humble ourselves, because he gives grace to the humble. And this is what we need in our lives right now. We need God's grace in our life to do what only he can do. It says that it's God that works within us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God doing this in us to do what only he can do. And without his working in our life, then what he wants to do will never take place. So we have to be willing to just lay it all down, worship at his feet, and just say, "Lord, take all of me. I don't want anything left. I want to give everything to you." And just lay it all down before him at his feet, and you watch him do amazing things. So thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. I will be.